Okay, we have actually three ones. And the rest is translators, you assume? Are there any non-translators here? Just interested? Whoa! Excellent. The intent with this BOF, Birds of a Feather discussion, was actually to bring translators and developers together. And as you see, we have two topics to discuss. One is discussion about current translation problems in GNOME. And one is recently added. It's a keyboard localization discussions with Sergey. How's that pronounced?
Sergey.
Okay. So let's start with the current translation problems. I intend to bring together a lot of topics, but just random topics that can be is kind of problems for translators. I don't know if we'll manage to discuss all these, but let's see. By the way, everyone knows how a BOF works. It's not a presentation per se, it's more of an informal discussion. So if you have any questions or want to add something, just do it. The problem in some GNOME cases right now is that not all GNOME applications actually use getText. There are
shame.
What?
Shame on them.
Yes, if you say. GetText has many advantages. It's for one reason an established standard. It's pretty de facto standard on Unix systems to actually enable translation. There are many unfamiliar tools. There's Po file editors, there's the whole line of commands that come with getText, and many of those are very commonly used tools and familiar tools for translators. And actually the format itself, the PO format, has many advantages that many other attempts to translate don't. One example is that it has actually, you actually have an original message always present, and it's pretty straightforward. The problem is not all applications use getText. I've mentioned Mozilla, OpenOffice, and Abroad. Mozilla isn't a GNOME application, but we do use it in indirectly in how is it pronounced? Epiphany. Okay, everyone heard it. All Mozilla error messages and we actually do get those in Epiphany. Not all of them, but many. So we do still need Mozilla localization. OpenOffice is also a problem, not a GNOME application per se, but I don't know if many people, other people attended the OpenOffice talk. Some want to push it as the GNOME office suite, so we do need localization there, proper localization.
I know there are localization teams that use scripts or whatever to convert the OpenOffice strings into the PO format.
Was that a question or?
No, and there are scripts.
There are scripts. Okay. The same is true for Abroad. Abroad doesn't use getText. It has its own resource-based format with a resource identifier for each message. That isn't the actual message, but an invented name. It doesn't use PO format, therefore, but there are attempts to translate back and from PO format. The problem with that is that you, first of all, need to...
Somebody has to do it.
You have someone who is volunteering to actually do regularly do translate or pick the most recent, translate it to what's something similar to a pod file, and then developers or translator needs to work, and then their work needs to be converted back and also put back. The problem with these also is that they are all external. We don't use the GNOME resources such as GNOME CVS. We'll come to that. Is there any Question?
I just like to make a comment that a lot of older GNOME applications, as one example or another, they don't use getText all the time either, as much that a lot of the content is merged from the PO files back into XML, down to desktop files, and different files you're building the module.
Yeah.
And that's a bugbear of mine in particular, but I know but the problem with it is that it's very hard then to separate out the language content from the actual build, i.e. in order to get all the files, say for Hungarian, and to package those files just for Hungarian, it is actually either necessary to do an entire GNOME build, or else to figure out a way of using the inter tools by themselves to do this, but there's no mechanism for, say, merging content back into XML or .scheme files standalone.
You asked for a way to merge, pick all the strings that are necessary instead of using Intool, or?
No, for us, when we're building, sorry, I worked with some, and for us, when we're building in linguistic content, the only way we do it at the moment is actually do the build.
Okay, I think what you described, Sun does package and digital translations for themselves in separate packages.
We can't separate out that XML content because it's multi-language.
Yeah.
And we can't separate it out on an individual language basis without building with linguists set to one language, each individual language. So my comment really is this thing of Mozilla, OpenOffice, and AbbeyWord as being three examples of applications that don't use getText. While they do, most of the other applications use it 90% of the time. A lot of stuff is still getting picked up from XML and stuff.
Well, actually, the interesting thing here is that in XML, the reason we don't translate XML files directly, part of that reason is that all translations would be need to put in the same file often. So that's why we have Intool often in these cases to actually extract and have language separate files for separate files.
Is there a mechanism though to just do that merge? Is there like a make command within a module that you can have that merge happen without actually doing the module build in its entirety?
I don't know, but I'm fairly sure there's possibility to actually include XML files in entirety, if one should want to do that.
Usually there is no special target, but you can either run Intool tool merge yourself. If you have these files, you can just write a small script which runs just Intool tool merge. But it's not usually in standard.
You have that special target in the main file at the moment.
Usually, I don't know any program which would have special target for it.
The reason I put PO format here is that some of these, or actually all of them, applications are listed here, don't use getText, mainly of a reason that they want to stay as portable as possible. So I put PO format here because it's still possible to write wrappers. So that's the importance here. The important thing is not using getText directly. It's important thing is using some wrappers to actually put things in PO files so they can be translated as PO files. How do we change this? Yes, Brian.
Well, it's pretty much standard right now. As you say, you list three applications, the big applications, but there are a lot more that do use the format. So the only thing we can change is appeal to the developers, I think, to get to use the, because they're not using the standard.
They come from very different groups.
And they are not really from GNOME roots only. Mozilla is supposed to be on all platforms, not GNOME only. OpenOffice is not pure GNOME application, and even AmbiWorld originally was not GNOME application. That's why this historical isn't there. So it's difficult to imagine they will have. The only thing is just to contribute the scripts to come there to PO and from PO, and insist that these scripts should be put into standard CVS, source distribution, or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one interesting thing that we don't have. That what I've heard, not seen it working in practice, but I've heard that you can edit the user interface live, as it were. You know, that you have the Mozilla running and that you have the run some kind of XPI package for the translating, and that you just kind of click on an element and fill in the right word.
Okay. That's actually a good feature, because when you have the ability to actually translate the most visible stuff first. To summarize, I think we want to somehow, as much as possible, contribute scripts and do some advocacy.
Question. You could, or should maybe, ask the people not using GetText why they're not using it, and probably try to get the database maintainment to add features that projects need, if there's something missing.
I've tried to contact Mozilla developers, and the main reason there was they had actually looked at GetText and decided it wasn't suitable because of portability reasons. We want to stay as maximum portable as possible. And I've tried to convince them to allow or somehow, if using a PO format translation would be feasible. And that's kind of the situation. It's not.
It's part of Screen or some other third party library, so you should have it installed explicitly, and if you should either bundle statically with Mozilla for Windows or have some DLA or something, which again should be with Mozilla because it's not part usually of the Windows platform.
But Mozilla bundles a lot of stuff,
That's an interesting thing.
Then we have to convince them that they should ship GetText DLA for Windows as well.
By the way, Mozilla localization does touch GNOME applications, because the browsers that implement the Mozilla or Gecko runtime, like Epiphany or Galleon, they sometimes get to handle native Zool dialogs that they can't handle themselves with a GTK dialog. So it really has to work together.
Yeah. I think we have to move on.
Yeah.
Using GNOME Resource and GTP, or any other translation project. Actually, a big thing when we have to do in GNOME is actually convince developers of various GNOME models and potential GNOME models to actually use GNOME resources, such as Bexilla or GNOME CVS.
I think that's one thing, yes, this is one solution of it, is to say, okay, let's get into GNOME CVS. But I really don't think that can be the be-all and end-all answer for everything. Because, eventually, this is GNOME CVS is a dual Pentium 400. You know, all the world, everything in the world that needs to be translated can't live on that machine. Yeah.
That's exactly the reason why I wrote, or any other translation project. Because there are, okay, we can start with facts about using translation project. It's actually any type of way of organizing translators for many applications, so that you don't have each and every translator actually bugging the developers, or developers having to actually administer the translations themselves, or organizing and accepting new translations and handling all that. And usually, since translation project organizes translators into groups, and that helps translates to actually communicate with each other for each language. And by doing this, it usually helps providing higher quality translations.
That's very true, I can confirm, because when I run my project as standalone on SourceForge, I get occasional translations. And once GTP start caring about a PO file for my project, the amount of supported languages grew order of magnitude.
Yeah.
So, success story in favor of GTP.
Yeah. One problem with applications not using a translation party is that developers have to make all the administrative of handling translations, translation volunteers. And the problem is, and it's not uncommon, that there is an existing translation and some other person volunteers, and that translation gets replaced. But developers don't usually have the language knowledge. If someone sends a Persian translation, it would be hard for me as a developer to judge the existing Persian translation with the other one and make both Persian translators communicate, if at all. So translation projects solve those kind of problems. The problem is that not all applications use a translation project. In GNOME, that's currently Squirrelkeeper, which we are trying to convince to use the translation project. It's not in GNOME CVS for inter-project reasons. They want to be an help indexer for both KD and GNOME, basically. For that reason, it would be sensible to use the translation project instead. Translation project is a more kind of general translation project. It handles many translations from the GNU side and all kinds of stuff. So it's not tied to GNOME. And using that would be a good start. The same is true for GSteamer, which is not in GNOME CVS either. They work kind of differently. In the translation project, it doesn't have a CVS per se, because all the projects using that are independent. They don't have anything in common except using the TP for translations. So it works with a mail robot that actually takes the translations from registered translators and sends them to transparently to the developers, but first checking them. So it solves the same problem, but in different ways. And that's all. As Owen points out, not every application can be put into GNOME CVS. There's actually big resource limits, and actually physical resource limits. So we don't want that. On the same time, it makes sense somehow that GNOME applications are actually moved to GNOME CVS, as we can make sure all GNOME applications are translated the same, if possible.
But wouldn't it be possible for the GStreamer guys, for example, to just send the relevant files, the relevant PO files, to the GNOME CVS and keep their own development tree on their own computers?
We tried to do that. We had in the GNOME i18n model, we had extrapo directory, where we actually managed pod files and PO files for different external projects. The problem with that is that someone needs to maintain it, and it quickly gets unmaintained. Someone needs to do the actual work with coordinating, fetching the pod file at the right moment from the upstream, putting it in GNOME CVS, and merging the translations back. So
can't that be scripted to do daily, like the translation project does it right now?
It could probably be scripted, but then you're actually in some way recreating the translation project, which actually works that way, except the translation project, the developers need to actually actively send the pod file once in a while. But it's kind of exactly what the translation project does. Mm-hmm. Okay, more questions? We can move on. Updating
perhaps, perhaps one thing I thought about, you gave an example of existing translations sometimes the profiles list earlier or previous translators in the headers, which are not known to the people who are active in the translation project. Mm. Might be an idea to extract those names and perhaps try to contact those people. Perhaps they would like to join.
Yeah, sure. I don't know if that could be automated. I don't think it can.
Just an
idea. Yeah. As I said, sometimes the people working on translation project and GTP project are the same, but most of the time they aren't. So there needs to be some collaboration done in contacting both ways. We've kind of tried to make when we moved those GNOME 18 extra pro translations to remove them from GNOME CVS, we actually tried to contact the developers and made them have them convinced to use their translation project. So hopefully most of us should be in the translation project now, and those translators in the translation project or in GNOME translation project who need to actually, we haven't cared for that. So translators need to contact each other.
Would it make sense to contact release team for GNOME just have a hard limit that no application which is part of official GNOME release can have a substantial problem with translation? I know there can be some non-translated languages or something, but at least the support for GetText should be there for core application. No broken support for Unicode and support for 8-bit encoding should be also working properly.
I'm not sure about this, but I actually do think we have some guidelines in that area. Fairly vague guidelines, but says that
just
applications that should
make
be
it explicit and harder.
We can probably work something out there, because there was some discussions recently about criteria for being included in GNOME, and I think translation was mentioned there. So it's just a matter of, if needed, making those guidelines stricter, more specific. Okay. Updating podfiles in, podfiles skip. If there's developers here, and I know there is, I see there. It should be a fairly what I want to say is that it shouldn't be any news to any developer here or in GNOME, but we've tried to actually make podfiles in and podfiles skip be updated correctly for a long time. The problem is that podfiles in determines what strings should be translated, and so it's actually absolutely necessary for that file to be updated for complete translation. The problem is that the symptoms of an incomplete podfiles in or is usually not visible to anyone except those actually using the translation. So. And another problem is that developers are usually the ones who actually have necessary knowledge of their application to actually know what files will I use, what files are actually used in the build, and what files do I plan to use, and what files can safely be ignored. So it's a problem visible for translators and users of translations, but not necessarily visible for developers, and on the other side, developers have that knowledge. Developers regularly forget to update those files. That's kind of natural because these things happen. What I would want to add that we probably should make more developers know about Intel update maintain command or dash m, because that command actually lists the files that are missing. Any comments?
Yeah, I think there's probably some. We need to take responsibility for those things as well. Mm-hmm. You can't always say that
the maintainer should do everything. Because that's not going to happen, and there's a lot of modules that are big. There's a lot of coders adding new files to the build that really don't own the module as a whole.
What I wanted to say is, and I'm not trying to blame developers for this problem. It's just that many developers seem to be unaware of this, but they actually need to update those files.
Yeah, right.
And
I still think that even though people know about that command, it's still going to happen.
Yeah, sure.
So, but it should happen.
It's actually so that
probably get scripts to search for files that are actually in a make file.
Absolutely.
Missing from
absolutely, files. And we definitely should do something like this. Go through all models before number 2.4 is in string freeze.
Yeah.
That's actually one thing I plan to do. It's only that we need to make sure that developers actually know that these files need to be updated. And one thing I've also encountered is that some developers actually do think that translators always take care of this.
Yeah.
So that's also a problem. It works both ways.
Yeah.
You need to cooperate.
It's kind of been like in the PO directory, that's
the
translator's area. So people kind of keep forgetting.
Yeah. So it's kind of misplaced in that way.
No, but it's in some ways also, it's okay as long as someone does it. But there's no clear responsibility placed anyway.
What to localize? I only put this in here because there's always a discussion about what to do about error messages. Which error messages should be translated and which one shouldn't. The problem is that error messages span all the way from simple error messages directed to the user to raw debug messages. And it's not always simple to draw the line, what should be translated. One way of defining it is that error messages are primarily there for the user to help herself. So if the actual error message is actually useful for the user, no matter if it's technical or not, or much technical, as long as it has some effect to the user, bringing one on the right track in solving a problem. No matter if it's technical or formulated or something, it could be useful to translate. And the problem is that translated error messages usually make bug reports very problematic. It's kind of a big problem for some applications because they get bug reports, and we've mentioned of an error message that they don't understand. And that makes bug reports close to useless. So how do we solve this? I put error IDs, error numbering. I don't know if that's a feasible idea. Is there anyone who has...
Probably it's a good idea, because first of all, a lot of big companies use it the same way, and they have a story much longer than non-product itself, and it proved to be good. The only problem is it's a task more than sphere of just non-translation problem. If there will be policy on error IDs, there should be some probably universal for entire GNOME scheme of assigning error IDs. Probably prefix product name, then the error ID or something like this. It's really big enterprise to introduce it all over the GNOME. I don't know, it's probably not even GNOME 2.6.
No, it's kind of a big problem. But yeah.
How easy is it to do reverse translation on those strings? If I'm a developer and I get a bug report with an error message in a language that I don't understand, is there a way to make it easy for me to...
If you have a source ready, it would actually be quite simple task to actually do a tool that just takes the translated message and tries to find the...
Yeah, I mean, the English message would be right beside the translated
message. Yeah. So all the information is there. It's just a way of accessing. Easy access.
But it's not that hard to ask the user to run it with English
Actually, that can be quite hard because we, for example, we don't have language selection, so accepting GDM. So the user needs to log out and reproduce the exact same error. And
unfortunately, it's not always the case. For example, try to run evolution, bonobo activation use default locale of the session. So some components just will still use your locale, not the locale you supply from the command line.
Still, how do you reproduce knowledge but an error?
But a big advantage of using error IDs or perhaps an error library is it could reduce a lot of work for us translators. Every program has an error message, a file not found, or something like that. So if you have a number of errors where developers can pick their error message from, and we only have to translate that library,
I think you would have to have an extremely big library of error IDs, because if you certainly want to naturally translate strings, because you know, if you ever get errors, if you just have the stir error expansion of the error node, you find that they're almost completely useless. You know, error not found, error.
And
so, I mean, what we generally try to do is, you know, going for an error message, we actually include extra information in the error message that's particular to what happened in that particular spot. You know, sometimes a file name or whatever. So there's often slight variation in the same message. I mean, it's possible that we could have, you know, the format string with the right spots, you know, to use them, but I think it would be a little bit tricky because of the possibility of the small variations that you want here. What we don't want to get right is everybody just uses the Bible generic error messages because they're already translated and already there and already have bug error IDs. So I mean, it could have a negative effect introducing the quality of the error messages. I think the error ID idea is good, and I think it's also going to be quite hard for developers. It's because, you know, want to put a quick error message somewhere and you know it's going to hit or not, and so the idea is trying to think, okay, is this going to be what's the ID, bug ID, error ID. Of course, people would probably be better off if they didn't think about whether their error message would hit or not.
Because
you know, you don't want to translate or translate the message that, you know, is only hit if you have a bug in your program or something.
Right.
I don't know, I think it's the original idea that I think it would be a little bit hard to get people to adopt it.
Maybe one thing you could try to do to make life of a translator easier is, I don't know if the whatever tool is used to produce the GetText catalogs is supports it, but I have often thought to myself, why not make the fuzzy messages also take messages from other profiles, not just the revisions of itself, you know?
That's supported in the tools.
I know about translation memories, but yeah. That's kind of different, you know? Translation memories, of course you can build a database of files and stuff, but it could already, something like this could already be done on the server side. Before you download it, you could have suggested fuzzy messages from only the GNOME application, because your translation memory could contain KDE, GNU, whatever else, distribution specific strings. Yeah. You could at least try to make more consistent by already trying to fetch those fuzzy things from the entire catalog of GNOME translations instead of just
own. So you are actually trying to say, if I try to summarize, that messages should be translations for error messages should be pulled from fuzzy messages.
Well, error messages are one example where this could work, but I don't see why it wouldn't work for normal messages as well.
That's an interesting idea, but
translation server. There is kind of a phrase. So. translator will be able to access the common accessible database?
Perhaps that too, but when a getText catalog is generated, you have always fuzzy messages from similar message exists in the same catalog, and it is suggested to use as a translation. But now my idea is to draw those fuzzy translated strings from the entire compendium of translated strings for that for GNOME as a whole.
Yeah.
That'd be great. I could see you have to be careful about your licenses to make sure that you are grabbing strings from compatible licenses.
It's just a matter of someone making the compendiums for all the languages you want to be able to merge from and setting up something somewhere to merge stuff. But it's probably a lot of work.
I don't know, if, like Bill said, sometimes it can just be grabbing. And well, grabbing the entire GNOME database can be a big part of it.
You wouldn't have to build the existing separate.
Okay. Should we move on?
Yeah.
Improving the language in original messages. I put it in here because translators are usually, I don't want to say first, but one of the first ones to actually encounter typos and inconsistencies in original messages. Daniel?
Yes, I translate for SUSE, the user manual and the administrator's manual, a third of it, with two other translators. And we have switched from text sources to POPOT files. I just saw the second item there. And we report typos and inconsistencies by commenting in the comment field of the item that contains a typo. So after I send the POT file, the PO file back, Antifab or SUSE, yeah, it's a no-fly zone. Antifab or SUSE, she scans through the PO file for comments that contain two hashes instead of one hash, and I write #, and then typo in large letters, and so we have a consistent way of scanning for typos.
Yeah.
What I sometimes extend it and I contain bad orange if the text is jabber, it's a bad orange, and I invent other tags. Over time, I invented a set of about half a dozen tags that are very useful for this kind of feedback.
The thing is that strings and messages are much more visible in Python PO files than usually big text or big chunks of source code. So it's easier that way to actually spot them. So this is not necessarily a problem. It's actually a benefit. The problem is that translators often don't know how to report these issues. We probably need to educate people, translators more.
The way to report them now is making bug reports, right?
Yeah.
For each and every mistake, for a forgotten comma or something like that, you have to make a bug report.
Generally, okay, there are a bunch of similar typos, yeah. Just stick them into one bug report, and that is, you should, for the same project, I mean, if you have found 20 typos in the GDK profile, I'd have to get one bug report with all 20 in there. That's generally not the case if for unrelated issues, but because every typo in the string is basically related, so yeah. I don't think it hurts to file a bug report.
Batching helps a lot also for the translators.
If someone's going through the GUI resources like that.
Yeah, exactly. And he sends me a batch of 20 of the files of the button as a bug, and we forward that, a reference to that off to the other translators to say, these 30 messages are about to become fuzzy.
Fuzzy.
This is what, they don't know why they're changing. So, yeah, big chunks works nicely.
Wouldn't his procedure be a little more efficient than running the bug?
It works with us.
Okay, for me, if their the way I find patches for GTK, they come in Bugzilla and that's the pipeline. And if something doesn't come into Bugzilla, you know, if I have to remember to do something else, it's not good because I don't remember to do it, and I never get it in. So, yes, it would be more efficient for the translators, except that nothing happened with that.
It would be nice to connect those two processes somehow so we could get your.
I think that hopefully, since there are 40 translators translating each project, if the translator just, you know, hopefully the amount of bugs, amount of technicals that every translator has to file will be reduced if people start filing, are consistent about filing technicals when they find them. Because by the time the first five people translated it, hopefully more obvious kind of technicals will have gone away. I think it would be great if we could have some, you know, really easy way for translators to do it. But I think in some sense, you know, if you just put it the normal GNOME, make any change to Bugzilla as a normal GNOME procedure, I think that would be most efficient in general.
Okay, but then perhaps you could try to combine the approaches and let the translators just edit the profile and add the comments there, because that's the easiest to do for translator, and then make a modification to Bugbuddy to scan the profile for double hashes and
well, a bug report, isn't that a little like, we Germans have a saying, it's to shoot sparrows with cannons?
No, I mean, I want bug reports to everything that's going to
in for a comma, isn't that going to be overkill?
The thing is, it's not overkill because if you show that mail message, mail message would be, doesn't work at all because that will just get lost. If you have 20 commas, yes, I mean, okay, one bug report for 20 commas. But, you know, I don't see an alternative to, you know, at some point, if you want detention of maintainers, it has to end up in Bugzilla.
Yeah, because a maintainer is trained to learn to read for, to search for bugs in a certain way, but a comma or a dot or a missing I, letter I, is not a real bug.
Yeah,
it's
true.
It is.
It's a fluke.
I think it's unrealistic to ask maintainers to deal with multiple bug pipelines, which is what it is.
It's not accountability. If you get a bug report, it's saved in the database somewhere. If you get a mail, it's nowhere. If you delete it, you can even refer. In a mail, 21st of September 2003, I reported you the problem with comma. Where is the mail in my book? In Bugzilla, bug number 2035.
2,344,000.
Okay, yes, okay, let it be solved.
It's the maintainer's responsibility to keep control of those sets of bugs and know what's there, what's not there, and how they're managing it. Mm-hmm. If the module bug list is getting out of control, then the maintainer's is definitely at fault and should be taken to task eventually.
There are some modules that have internationalization bugs in the categories, don't they? Mm-hmm.
The other direction. I've had a couple of instances where people complain to me that such and such was translated badly in X. You know, why don't you use this phrase? And I've been really clueless to where do I forward that.
If bug reporters do use Bugzilla to report, I mean, to translators use Bugzilla to report bugs, then they will have Bugzilla accounts, and then you can CC them on bugs on that translation. And that's what I'll do if I give them a bug report on translation. If the translator has a Bugzilla report, I'll CC them on a bug. And that works best, but I mean, otherwise I'll have to mail them, and that's, you know, I don't know if it gets fixed or not.
There are products. There's a localization product with languages as components.
We actually have
it over there.
So the default over that is.
Yeah, we actually have a LTN product now with subcomponents for each and every language. So you can actually move this bug report you get to this product, and it will you have these translators for each and every language are at in default owners, so you can actually quickly assign it to translate.
Okay, so the translator is the default owner of the component.
Every language has a default owner. Should have. Okay, so the idea is that's an idea, because when you also solve a problem that different translators report to a particular typo. I don't know if that actually happens often, that there are multiple reports from translators on a typo. I think currently we're so bad at actually reporting those issues.
I would love to have BugBuddy or perhaps another bug reporting tool make it easier if you're making a translation type of bug. Because right now it asks questions like, how often does this error occur? What version does it occur? It's not really relevant if you're making a translation bug reporting.
Add a bug report against BugBuddy.
Right, I'll do that, yeah.
You can use BugBuddy to report bugs against BugBuddy.
Okay, well, so that's basically a thing with different developers. Some need watches their mail list, some only monitor Bugzilla or only manage to monitor Bugzilla. Often, I think this is true for most bug reporting. Often the best way to succeed in reporting a bug is to do both report things in Bugzilla and actually send a mail to the main list pointing to the bug report in Bugzilla, but also mentioning the... In my experience, that's often an efficient way. And developers, we probably should encourage more developers to actually try to read a patch file once in a while for an application. On a rainy day or something like that, when nothing else happens. Because it's really an easy way to spot inconsistencies that you otherwise will never notice, and simple typos. And of course, encourage translators to report. Use of comments. This is actually a very old getText feature. If you add a comment on the line above, when a getText string is extracted, xgetText will actually put that comment as a comment in profile or pod file, so the translator see it. And this can be very handy, because this is basically the most efficient way for a developer to point out that something needs the translator's attention. The problem is that this isn't quite known. Many developers seem to be unaware of this, and it probably isn't used as much as sometimes would be necessary. Another problem, which is probably the most severe of this one, and the reason I brought this up at all, is that Blade doesn't support this type of comment, not that I know of.
Is there a bug in Bugzilla with reports against Blade for this problem?
I actually don't know. I haven't checked it out.
It's easy thing to answer the question what to do.
Yeah. We'll get to more Blade issues. Use of local values.
Quick question before we go on. I'd always assume you have to put some sort of a tag in the comment so the translators would know that it wasn't just a comment that happened to occur near a translator string.
Yeah. That's actually.
I always had to put X, get X, colon in front of it. I assumed that they would just ignore things that didn't have it.
Yeah.
Do I need the keyword?
It actually puts...
Is there a better keyword that would stand under translators, or just to say two translators when I want to go to two translators?
As far as I know, xgetText actually pulls every comment that happens to be in the line above. So we actually have a kind of a problem. It's, well, I don't know if it's severe or not, but we actually get much non-relevant comments in the PO files. So it probably helps to actually address it some way manually to translators. Or
one thing I should point out is if despite this, some people's distaste for Mozilla, also if you discover places, if translators discover places where it's not clear what a string means, Mozilla reports about those would also be very much appreciated. I mean, some of the cases, the solution is to fix the string, in some cases, the solution is to put a comment in. One thing we think about doing for GK in particular, because we have all these, basically developer strings in there, is actually we're planning to put a glossary in the user, the developer manual, which will just describe a lot of the terms mean, so that you know when somebody runs into model column, they have some clue about how to translate that into their language. So anyway, but if there's strings that just don't make sense, it's really good to let the developers know that.
Yeah, I think it could be also an idea to separate out those strings into states.
I'd really like to do that. I mean, I'd like for somebody to do that. It's a pretty large task, so I mean, I don't think it's really well here for it, but
it's not hard. It's just not a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it's like figuring out which out of like 1,000 strings, yeah. which 200 are each visible.
Yeah. Because it's a lot of work translating stuff.
Yeah, it's a real problem, but it's a real problem that you can't get the user-visible strings in GDK translated. You have to translate all these developer strings that don't matter at first pass. So I'd like to. I think there's going to be some slight technical issues in having a single project with two domains. I don't think we use anywhere else. So.
GIMP actually does that. It has several domains in a single module. I don't know how easy or how hackish that is, but they use it. How many more slides? Actually, we're out of time, and we have quite a few more. Actually, we're not past half of these.
Perhaps extend the session tomorrow.
Or we could continue as long as we get before we get thrown out.
Steven, at 7 we're going to be thrown out, so we still have an hour. But
I won't be here tomorrow.
I wanted to, if anyone is interested in how I comment my PO files, because nobody seems to be doing it apart from me, I could show it quickly. Is anyone interested?
Yeah.
Good? Can I?
Okay.
Oh, the slides first. Yes, 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 the slides.
Okay.
Yes, I'm going to
go down
by
seven.
Okay.
You need to do your stuff.
I don't need to finish. I just will explain what the problem is with keyboard. And
okay.
That's it. So, I don't know how many people are using non-English keyboard in this auditorium. Can you raise hands?
Non-English.
Non-US.
Non-Latin.
Okay, yeah, non-standard. So what currently is exist in GNOME is, in standard GNOME installation, is GKB applet, where you can choose several layouts. Many layouts are available in two variants, for XModMap or for XKB standard. Then you switch between these two layouts, and the problem with JKB is, first, it's not a native application using XKB calls. It executes set XKB map utility in order to switch layouts. It uses XModMap utility to switch XModMap layouts, which takes time and reloads entire XKB configuration of the X server. Also, it lacks a feature which, as far as I know, many users like is layout per window. So there is one main window 1, main window 2, main window 3. Here I edit Russian document. Here I communicate with my German friend. And here I do some work in Greek. And when I switch between them, I want to keep the status of these windows. And JKB currently doesn't support these things. When I found these uncomfortable things, it was old days of GNOME 1. I started new independent of GNOME project, G-switched applet. Initially it was just applet, which supported the missing features. It's native XKB application. It doesn't work with XMob map at all, which excludes all X-servers or X-servers with broken XKB extension, which is a problem, probably, I don't know. I never got any reports from people who are using anything except X3. I don't know, it's a question to some people or to people from HP. I don't know who to ask this question about XKB extension.
It's iffy. We got a lot of bug reports. I did the first pass the AccessX caplet a year ago, and we got a lot of people complaining that it wasn't happy with their XKB implementation, or they didn't have the XKB implementation enabled.
But that's just a configuration issue. I mean, I think what we decided is that you have to have XKB.
The accessibility key bindings that work.
Yeah. So I think that the direction we're moving is there are major features that are requiring it.
As long as we have a flag that will gray out the dialogue and say XKB isn't available right now, you can't set this stuff. That'd be fine.
Well, I mean, you would know better, Sergey, but yeah. I believe that with XKB you have a much better flexibility with switching.
Yes, sure. That's why XKB was invented, because core X protocol is not really a flexible thing. So XKB is much better.
That for the switch caplet, that an XKB requirement is a reasonable thing.
I think so.
In order for the desktop to work. But, yeah, and with respect to Solaris, there are bugs. I've found that there are certain things in Solaris where if you make the right calls, things work. And if you make other reasonable-looking documented calls, things don't work. And so we're just kind of, what we're doing in the accessibility stuff is we're stepping from stone to stone across the, across the pond. We found all the spots that work. And if we ever find a spot where we can't work around, then
you call the server people.
We force them to fix it. So I think it's getting fixed on Solaris. I can't speak for any other OS. Linux has bugs too.
Probably. That's the first part of the story. Also, the second part of the story is that configurating XKB, if extension itself is working, the problem is how to provide user the interface, proper user interface for configuring things. GKB applet currently has his own registry of available layouts, and user chooses among them. We designed XML-based file with available layouts in X3, and we submitted it in the X3 project. So currently it's part of X3 4.3.0. So you should either take this XML file and put it into some place from SourceForge, or just install X3 4.3.0 where this file is present. It's currently much better than what was in X3 earlier, because it understands the things like multiple selection of options. So some options can be selectable several at once in one group, and some options can be selected only one option in a group. And it's easy to parse, so it's easy to represent visually with all nice things. The layouts are organized in a tree, so if you have Russian layout, you have just Russian layout from Microsoft, Russian typographic layout, and for other locales, the same story. In this aspect of user interface, G-switched is really ahead of JKB, because it doesn't duplicate repository of configuration. You can always say
that code that is ahead of JKB.
Okay. The thing is that implementation of XKB of X3 prior to 4.3.0 didn't include the feature which was contributed by Ivan Pascal, another Russian, called multiple layouts. In a word, the idea is that each layout contains one group, only one group, and you can combine them. One group to add other group, a third group, a fourth group. In prior versions, they were only merged on the way they are in configuration file. So if your basic configuration file Russian language is in group 2, it will be only in group 2. And you cannot move it into other position. It made a very complex life for people who wanted 3 or 4 groups in configuration. They should either put configuration files themselves, which is not really easy job, or look for internet or something or something. So this feature supports this feature, but this feature is available only in X3 4.3.0. So it's kind of highly recommended for users of this feature to use latest X3 server. It's supposed to support earlier version, but not all the features of user interface, nice configuration and layout combining, are not just not available for people not using the latest X3 version. That's another sub-problem of this solution. Yeah.
What happens when you use the earlier versions?
It just says that in this version of X, your version of X server doesn't support multiple layouts. At least that's supposed to do. Previous version of this widget with previous version of X3 gave this error message. I didn't test latest version of this widget with previous version of X3. But it's supposed to do it.
But you can sort of select single layouts with it?
Yes, you can. The irony is that this single layout, when you choose in previous version of X3, sometimes it contains several groups already. For example, Russian layouts, they usually contain 2 groups, Russian and American layout. So it's again some kind of confusion user interface, because I choose Russian layout and suddenly out of nowhere I get 2 groups. Why? If I choose only one layout. Can I add third group? The answer is no in X3 4.2.0. That confuses people. People confuse layouts and groups. And I tried to explain these things in documentation, which is another kind of problem, because I want to make things easier for people, but there is documentation, and probably for complex things people would need if they want complex layouts. Yeah.
Isn't the primary difference that the groups are something that are switchable at the keyboard level, whereas switching layouts you have to make API calls? And you can use the multiple groups without G-switching if you configure your service, but you can't.
The main thing is that groups are exist within things configuration. Once you configure X server, XKV, you get so many groups, up to 4, thanks to Silicon Graphics. You can have only four groups. But it's one configuration, and it costs nearly nothing to switch between groups, and it's fast and effective. If you want some more, you have to reload the XKV configuration, which is kind of more expensive operation, and then you can do whatever you want. And layout is what I call layout is entire XKV configuration. The problem is currently that GNOME release team for 2.4 cannot really decide whether this widget is worth including in 2.4 or not. How to deal with XKB and XMobMa, and whether user interface of this widget, which is a question, I don't know the answer, is really compliant to human interface guidelines. So we need some kind of some review from numbers or something. Probably it's not compatible with. I tried to make it as compatible with HIG as I could, but it definitely should be another person, not me, who is doing review. There is also one feature which is highly questionable, is keyboard preview. When you tune the keyboard, you can see the layout, actually. I use XKB print utility, which is standard in X3 distribution, and it prints PostScript file. The question is how to show it. First, I try to use Bonobo component, which is GGV. To display PostScript file. Then I found that Bonobo is not intended to work without Bonobo window. Since it's couplet, I'm not going to make it Bonobo window. I don't see toolbar, I don't see menu, I don't see pop-up, so I cannot really zoom to really view the keyboards. It's to see the entire keyboard, especially if you have several layouts, is not pleasant. So the question is how to display properly the preview.
Just make it a bundle. It's trivial, and it's not like this is performance intensive
on camera. Sorry?
You could, I think he was saying to make it a bubble window. What he could do is you could have like a button, the preview button pops up a separate window with like.
So just make it external. Just take it out of the couplet and invoke GGV application or Nautilus or whatever else you don't want.
You don't necessarily have to. I'm saying it's sort of intermediate between making it external and not. Mm-hmm. To make it a bubble window with big.
Yeah, I see. Two windows or one.
Long term, the XKB geometry information gives you everything that's close to.
Yes, I know.
And Doc actually pulls this stuff out of XKB and paints it on the screen.
I know. I was already contributed with some code which provide initial rendering of a keyboard, and then I was told then you just add bit here, bit there, and then here you go. Actually, I wouldn't like to take too much time to redo the things which XKB print is doing already as good as it can. It's not that bad application at all. So. At the end of the day, Unix is about reusability of software components.
But the nice thing about this is that instead of just using XKB print, which is a static view, you can have a dynamic view of the keyboard, so you can actually see what happens if you switch groups on the fly. Mm. So you can actually see what key sims are met.
Mm, it will be as frequent as you click preview button.
Well.
So, just to make this not really critical feature very fast to implement special component for rendering keyboard, I don't think
it's not a huge piece of work. It's not an enormous project to draw the XKB field.
It's just rather complex data structure.
The X keycaps, it seems to have some rendering of something.
That's completely separate. I mean, it's a single file.
Well, so about the keyboard, the basic is the only thing is that if someone would have a look at the application and really make some review in terms of compatibility, in terms of how it looks in overall GNOME environment, whether it looks like GNOME application or is it something from Russia, this could be a voice for inclusion to next GNOME release or against inclusion or what to fix. At least this I could use as feedback for real improvement. So I would be really grateful. For
the task to look at it. I'm Jody Goldberg. I maintain part of the control center and recently got tasked by Symian to clean up the GKB outlet. So I'll have a look at it and we'll see whether we can get it in.
Thanks,
we typed for 2.4. I don't know if we'll be able to pull it off, but it sounds like it will be one way or the other.
I would be really grateful for it, yeah. And also some people who try to play on different platforms, not just X3, and send me bug reports, probably we could somehow polish the issues with non-X3 servers, because I just don't have this opportunity. Thank you.
Okay. Should we move on with the rest while we're still gathered? Let's see where we were. Oh, nice messages. We all have it.
Just type in the page number and the numeric
keypad
in per second.
Okay, I don't remember the page number.
Finally, at the end of March, people find how to go to the particular page number.
I think we were at this one. Use of local values. This is actually quite an important bit because
many things are actually already localized, and despite not many people knowing about it. And in libc, we have actually many local values already localized. This could be either paper size, currency information, default yes or no responses, and loads of information that's pretty common and localized into as many locales as GDPC supports. The problem is that this is not always known. So it's common, not very common, but it happens that in sometimes developers mark stuff for translation that is already localized in GDPC. So I think we need to bring some awareness that how much is available in libc already and that how it can be fetched. The problem is with this, as I myself found out, is that it's pretty badly documented. And in it's things that can be localized and which there are local values for. All these things, paper size and address information, telephone number, and all these kinds of information, they get extended, and it's not a kind of much of information about exactly what's available. Not that I could find.
You can't always rely on it for two reasons. Number one, it's not universally available to the API.
That's probably
the FreeBSD implementation. Is a fraction of what's available in GDPC. We're missing lots. Also, sometimes the information in there is somewhat contradictory. It doesn't always, some of it's replicated and some of it's self-conflicts. For instance, the comma separator, it's separate, specified under both numeric and under monetary. And in some locales, it's different. And people complain really, really bitterly. If you use one or the other. Yeah. So in some case, in numerical, had to use the thousand separator from the monetary and the decimal separator from the numeric or something like that. It's to balance it out. So in a lot of cases, it's probably just safer to put it as a translatable string and have the translators use the right thing. And having looked at that paper size would not show up there.
That's actually a quite common problem because in glibc they have this such and so many local or values available, and it appears to be that many of them are just copied defaults and not actually checked. So even within locales, you would have values that are not correct for that locale. You could have a thousand separator that's just copied from the default and not actually verified with people from that country or region or. But it should be that one. So that's actually a problem and bugs in glibc.
What is the standard, if I can ask? Is it like CAL, Simitons, source, locale source files? What is the standard data in these instances?
You mean how this is defined?
Yes.
Oh, it's a specific libc format. I don't know much about it.
I mean the data itself, are the data determined? You know, whether the comma is the correct separator.
It's basically the skill sense about, well, it's about the core of GLBC, and GLBC would say, okay, this would be different.
What have changed it?
Well, they always ask for evidence that it should change. Gives a pointer to a national standards website where they say that this is this way or whatever. So GLBC will do require that for changes there's some evidence, but you know, it doesn't mean that everything in there
is so much, like, there's so many different settings.
Could this be somehow in glib as a kind of portability layer to equalize?
Okay, one thing I do not want to get into is trying to. All the glibc people take the book reports about the wrong thousand separators. And, I mean, we could really use a locale system that worked.
Because even in Lang, this function. When you use outer tools, it's if-def. So it means there are platforms which it doesn't have
anything. What you can do is if-def, L, paper height, do this, otherwise something else.
Because I believe that all the NL category values have to be hash defined. So you can just say if that NL paper with height.
So probably people will have to do it in many cases. Check whether NL LNGFO function is there, then use it. If there is no function, check environment variable. If no environment remains, then do this. If it's in, it will be done in many applications, it will make sense to
I wouldn't say it's not a crazy idea. I mean, feel free to put a bug. If you think you have some crypto set that should be in GLib, feel free to file a bug in Bugzilla saying that we should add that. I don't think we could do it very soon.
Okay, fair enough.
If somebody sent a patch for it, would it be,
would be expedited?
Okay. Should we move on? It at least gave something to think about. Using messages of a right length. This is not that common of a problem, but it happens. The problem is basically that it's very simple. Two short messages often lack the necessary context. You can mark fragments of a word, and you can't. Sometimes you don't even mark a single word because it can have different contexts which need different localization. On the other hand, too long messages are very difficult to translate for really practical reasons. It usually gets long screens or even multiple screen heights. And since GetText works the way it does with fuzzy marking and you don't know what changed, you're basically reliant on being able to spot what changed yourself. They're basically very difficult to maintain. So a good rule of thumb is usually a paragraph-sized messages at most. So if you have lots of paragraphs that you want to output, split them into separate messages with different paragraphs. But usually it brings enough context, more than necessary often, and doesn't really... If it's in paragraph size, it usually is readable, because that's why it is in a paragraph. So that often makes it easy to translate too. This sometimes turn out to be a problem with some developers not being aware of this, causing problems, but it usually can be worked out. Any comments on this? There's actually quite a few recommendations there that makes a lot of sense.
The question is how to convince developers to read this. Mm.
So we probably should point out the, what you call it? GNOME documentation style. Yeah. We'll probably point to that. Split sentence. That's my favorite.
Oh, yeah.
The problem is that sometimes developers... either intentionally or unintentionally, it happens both ways, actually split up sentences in multiple messages. And that's very broken for localization, because sentences can, as a rule, only be translated in their entirety, because grammar, word order, sentence, disposal and everything varies from language to language. So this is pretty much an educational problem, because we need to make developers aware that please put sentences together and don't make any hex that split individual words out of sentences.
That's a good example, because there are fabricators, multiple, the word in multiple form. What is now fabricators is one. How would you recommend developers to deal with situation when they don't know which form of noun to use, multiple or single? Or I know there are some languages which is, there are even more than two forms of a verb.
We'll get to that.
Okay.
So I don't know if there's much to say about this, except we need to bring this message. Who wants?
Oh. Find those bugs, find messages like that, file bug reports.
Yeah. Messages, making messages generic. By this I mean trying to split out those things that shouldn't actually be translated. Those are file names, function names, everything that way. Because often you'll see things like the second example. Actually, lots of debugging for error messages that are actually the same but only differing in the function name. So the way GetText works, it's actually, if there are identical messages, it actually puts them into one. So there's only one instance to translate. What happens here is that if you have 20 different functions with exactly the same message, except the function call, you have 20 times the work. So it actually can be a big problem. This BFS example is actually an authentic one. That was resolved, but we probably need to get that message through also. Comments?
This that the second message shouldn't have been translated at all.
Yeah. Well, no, but what do we really want to translate in a GUI application? Do we want to translate stuff that is not popped up in a dialog? Yeah. That's really just ending up in a .x session errors file, and nobody ever looks at it. The only time it shows if you run a GUI application from the command line.
Yeah.
And most people don't do that all the time.
That actually brings us back to the question before, what should be localized?
I wouldn't mind if the error messages were in English. Probably
allowed
use in it, but
Chinese might object.
Yeah, there's actually quite a lot, but
or an error, if your application is spitting error messages to the console, then either they are really, really important or they are not useful at all.
Yeah, and you should just decide to make a dialogue to present it to the user if it's important enough.
Well, my view on that is that the developer should actually have set them and test it.
Yeah.
But you know, if you see a G-returning fail in the console, then you know something is already wrong.
Yeah.
And if it's just some kind of tracing output, then the developer is either really careless or he's not sure whether his program is fully debugged. So.
I usually think of this as, if it can help the user some way, even if it's technical, then it could benefit from translation. Because it only being on the console is not an excuse for not providing localization, because we translate other console applications, not as in part of GNOME, but as part of other.
The console applications, when they are meant to be used from the console, you translate CP error messages, because you cannot.
I think a good rule of thumb is a message indicates a bug in the program, it should not be translated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the problem one thing, but wrong environment, for example. There was example read error. Read error doesn't mean necessarily bug in the program.
No,
probably you just your floppy is right protected.
They checked every GNOME BFS return error code and brought up dialogues and said, this happened, and some of them even have, would you like to search for the missing file, and maybe your disk is full, here's how much space there is. That should be translated. But
yes.
Probably missing,
you screwed up.
5,000 error conditions to be handled, and like so.
But generally, if there's an error that's useful to the user, it shouldn't be printed out as a debug message, it should be passed back off, so. Mm-hmm.
part of this is also back to the language part, because making messages generic is also involves making messages consistent. So we'll also have that problem. It's only all of it nests nicely into each other.
But there are tools. I know there's a script that you can run on all your translations that tries to find similar message IDs with different translations.
Where is?
Yeah.
Or? I don't know.
Where?
Okay.
You can just run it on all your PO files and it'll find message ID instance 123 or whatever.
I was at goals.
My number is out of battery, so.
Okay, you can.
That doesn't help with inconsistent message strings, original strings, but it helps.
Okay, it's a tool for checking inconsistent translations.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. If someone can modify that to...
Translation list.
Yeah.
That would have saved a lot of hassle.
Yeah.
This one I really don't know about. Use a menopause. Some applications actually intersperse their menu entries with backslash, so we build up the entire menu entry as a string and the location. The problem is that I'm not sure if this context is always needed. Sometimes it's probably needed.
Yeah, it may not be needed, but basically it's required the way that GDK does menus. So it's not really. You'll have to live with it, unfortunately.
Okay.
Won't be translating. The value path will go away. Then you'll have action names, which should be multi-path like. But
and this is actually a really dangerous area where you have to make sure that the translations are precisely the same. Mm-hmm. And I had a lot of trouble in Khmer that in the GNOME UI version, it had to look up the menu path of file/preferences. And some of the translators had put underscores in slightly different places depending on where they had translated it. And it wasn't finding that path in some places because it didn't match the UI.
I think there is, we can discuss this. If you're using GDK, if you don't look at the last port of the translated message, it never pays attention to how the translator translated the first one. But
I'm not going to worry about it at this stage.
Yeah.
Egg to Laurel Land, and I can run all this code in Envoy 2.
His problem is actually the reason that the Mandrake Control Center didn't work at all in Mandrake 9.0 in Dutch.
Okay.
Just failed at startup, and there were all kinds of complaints, but it was too late to fix it for 9.0.
Because I don't think the answer is clear yes or no. Should it be done this way or not? Because sometimes these contexts can actually be useful, but you know it is a menu entry and it's probably a verb or not a noun and those things. But in general, it makes translation much harder and also introduces the risk of mistranslation, but actually do bad things. Another favorite. Use of non-ASCII in original messages. The fact is that this isn't generally allowed by GNU GetText except in the very latest version. So you can't have anything other than ASCII in the original source message that is marked for translation. And what actually happens when you do it is that XGetText spits errors or warnings, and finally an error. And then what gets put in the profile is everything except the failing character. So the problem is that you'll actually have another message, not the same one, in the profile, and you don't see it when you translate, except you see the errors, and you don't know where it happened, and you translate a different message. Also, since the lookup fails, since the lookup doesn't exactly match the original message, those messages will actually be untranslated too. And this has become a recent issue because Gnumeric has started to introduce UTF-8 messages on a wide basis.
It's not wide. Gnumeric has more translatable text than the rest of GNOME combined. Because we violated the don't have big paragraphs rule pretty badly. But there's only a couple of them, and it flows down to, you know, proper names for functions and the people followed by translatable text. And I'm not really worried in those instances if they don't have to be translated properly. But Keratin was looking, and it looked like with the newer versions of GetText that does support it, if we put the extra flag in the extraction from Intel tool. So it seems like it would not be enormously difficult to add a few more tests in Intel tool to say, oh, your version of GetText is too low. We want to use this flag. It's not available in your version. Please update it. And that's the right area, the right level to put that kind of dependency in. And then things should hypothetically work. You've made some proposals about possibly having Gnumeric depend on the GetText version, and that just seemed like crack. But this is the kind of thing that it should work. And
there's no doubt of it. Just
waiting to light a fire under a couple of bucks. And yeah, we'll light a couple of fires and wait. Non-fair won't get his name properly translated in the about books. He'll survive the ordeal.
Yes, but you are forgetting that, of course, not all applications are written in English in their original language, as their original language. For instance, I translate from German into English, and with my very first KBagel and GetText version that I used, I had massive problems validating my results because all the KBagel would not accept the umlauts and all the German special characters in the original language. And that was a massive problem. And we halted work for 3 weeks until it was fixed.
I'm agreeing with you completely. That's why I put them into Gnumeric, because I want to have those characters there so they can. The tool should support it.
It does now, yes.
Exactly.
Tools are available.
Yeah.
In some sense, it doesn't make any sense to have message IDs with anything other than ASCII, because those are the strings of the C locale, and the, you know, LCC type of the C locale is ASCII.
Yeah. I think we're all...
But the source coding for AGK program is going to be UK.
And there are, in the Unicode set, there are a number of characters that are not that are neither ASCII nor locale specific. So what do we do with those?
That's an interesting question, but I don't think we have encountered those.
There are a number of symbols that are not locale specific, or you might be using symbols for currency that's not the same currency as the locale. There's lots of things that can happen in there.
At the root of it is what encoding are we going to assume these source files, right? We have to pick one, and ASCII is not sufficient.
The safest bet is UTF-8.
It should be noted that there are some compilers who cannot handle literally UTF-8 in source code strings. This is probably not a concern for most GNOME. The two compilers I'm familiar with are IRCC and the Microsoft Visual C certain versions of that.
They don't accept arbitrary binary in text strings.
No.
I think we have to be careful about breaking, you know, about shoving something in that's going to break a build or going to break get text. But I don't think that it's something we should not even consider. We just should ask, okay, if we do this, what's going to break? How hard is it going to be to fix it? Who's going to be left out in the cold? What else can we fix?
I actually don't think anyone here is not agreeing, but UTF-8 or Unicode has, in general, it isn't the way of the future, and this should really work. The problem is that it doesn't accept when using the latest GetText version. So the question is, how do we handle this, and how do we handle this smoothly?
Let's see if we can push the dependent table tool. If that seems practical, it looks like about the right layer to try it.
How's about the portability? Because I don't know if any other actually integral implementation of, let's say, Solaris actually supports UTF-8.
Solaris dependency.
Oh yes, the latest Solaris.
We're just doing the extraction.
The latest Solaris, the patch in GL, they can accept the latest Solaris XKTX for using extraction, as well as the GNOME XKTX. So if you're using that, how will it support the encoding flag? I don't know whether it may not support Haskell strings, however. So.
Well, that's fine. But with Sun and push out.
Well, there is an alternate way of doing this. I think if we may have a problem, just to create like an en.po to have the
interface. Yeah, the trouble with that is, I mean, if we want to go that route, which makes a lot of sense in the face of it, I have to speak as a Delta here, it needs to be easier for me to do. I don't really want to learn how to translate files in order to put a non-ASCII character in my program.
And how do you communicate to the
It would be great if I went out and did it.
The other problem, of course, is that it should be the copyright symbol should be a copyright symbol in every translation. It shouldn't be copyright for English.
And that's actually problematic in that even with the latest XGET text, apparently under FreeBSD I had a bug report where XGET text would crash if I put UTF-8 in a comment that would tell the translator what they could translate it as.
That was
just ludicrously bogus. But if we want to go with, okay, give the translator a comment, put the string in ASCII, and then translate it even for English and all the other translations, then that's doable. Seems ugly because there's probably not much of an English translation team to monitor all of it. But
yeah. Well, I mean, even just a tool. I mean, frankly, if I had a tool that I could just say, okay, if it was really easy for me to run some script that created a one-off English translation of a particular string.
All the stuff is extracted, you just have to pretend that we're translators.
Yes, I want to remain stupid when it comes to how that's done.
If you go into your project PL directory, you copy one of the...
It's already
just the messages need to be translated.
There's already a British and American and English translation project. It's just a script. From American to English or British English.
Yeah. I think things like copyright similar are the more worrying ones because there you want the same translation in every field.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ideally, the copyright example is actually an interesting one because I don't actually believe they should be translated at all because of copyright. They actually have to be identical.
So you don't anything that is a copyright string should be an untranslated string in the first place, you're saying?
To some extent.
Differ between countries, though.
Oh, very much so.
Yeah, but it's a big problem when you start translating a license and you miss some important part of it in the translation.
Yes. Licenses, I mean, especially when it's a known license, should just be cut and pasted and not translated.
Or at least because translated by someone who fully understands it.
Which reduces the amount of available
translation.
Yeah, near, very near. Zero.
The GNU project recommends is that don't ever translate unless you have, or even with someone knowledge about it, don't ever try to translate it. You can provide a translation, but then you should include this and this disclaimer that this is an informal translation.
I know that software and normally, we have special requirements for French, for example, with regard to licensing. It's more that if you leave the license in English, then it's not valid on the French law. But this is a whole different way.
Yeah, it seems specific to French. So I don't know if we can come to any conclusion about this, but we need to be careful here and make bug reports and get this fixed.
How would this program look in like ALC? Yeah, just a question. If these characters are just not defined, are illegal in locale, in some locale, how would it look like?
Yeah, they show up just fine in the untranslated version, because I've already hard-coded the internal locale of numeric to be UTF-8. So it just ships off the Pango.
So there is no such thing as like ILC.
There is no locale C internally anymore, other than for the numeric.
Okay.
Formatting stuff.
Fair enough.
This is another favorite, Pango markup. This is actually a serious problem, not only because this is a problem for translate, but it only gets worse as more and more applications actually do use Pango markup.
Or tech.
Or?
Tech.
Yeah, any type of markup. The problem is basically that Pango markup shouldn't be translated to begin with. And so this is, the problem isn't is as simple as that, actually. There's one example here where the markup actually carries some useful information, and that's the first one, because it actually carries positional information that's useful to know. You can't translate the sentence without knowing where the markup should be, and it needs to be preserved. The rest of these examples are just examples of markup where it doesn't belong. It should be separated from the message to be translated. I've written some. We need to hurry up. I've written some of these problems it causes. The basic problem is that it can be fixed in C code. It currently can't in GLAD. So we need to have it fixed in GLAD. And there's a GLAD bug report about this, and the GLAD developer basically says that he needs extensions in GTK to do this nicely.
I mean, there are multiple ways of making a string bold in GTK. You don't have to use markup for it. But if you're going to use markup, I'm not so sure what you can do in GTK to fix the problem.
They can take the untranslated string and notice that there's the markup is only around the edges, and then send only the subpart.
You need GLIBLATE support, right?
Yeah.
GLIBLATE would have to call SKX in the airport and then
put together.
But you should be able to solve GLIBLATE and GLIBLATE together.
Well, you could do it with attribution in the GLIBLATE elements. It would require a change to the GLIBLATE, a minor extension to the GLIBLATE XML format, and probably a change to the UI to make it easy for somebody using GLIBLATE to do a global markup on the string. And then if they put internal markup, that'd be great. And you just say in the user guide, if you want to markup the whole string in GLAD, use the GLAD attribute feature.
GLAD could also just recognize people.
Yeah. It's already got the use markup property on most of the objects that this is relevant for.
Yeah.
And GLAD can easily monitor that, tack on its own artificial property on top of it that notices whether or not there was markup on the outsides or not, and put it back together in a special way where necessary.
Since the building is going to be closing down at 7 p.m. sharp, we need to pick up our bags from the
back and run
where it's being locked.
Right.
And there's one last slide I had about using Clue as NGET text. And I believe everyone who has read the mail the last half year would have encountered this, the thread there was about it. And the interesting thing about this, it needs to be done for many Eastern European languages which need multiple plurals. And the interesting thing is the portability problem, and also that actually GNOME applets and GNOME games already do use NGET text now. So whether we should do this on entire GNOME, all of GNOME is...
In documentation and guidelines, what else?
Portables.
What?
Is there some macros to wrap it to ensure that that's available on other platforms?
I honestly don't know.
It's going to be available on very useful libraries and elsewhere. I mean, so it's going to be like GLG2 integrator, I think, and very useful Solaris and UCHK. So I probably think the GTK is I probably want to get into a year or so before.
Yeah. It seems like the kind of thing that we
almost every project ends up with its own standard set of, you know, what, where do you define underscore parentheses?
Yeah.
Not necessarily a central repository of those, but something like that seems like a good candidate for that, where the platform will make the decision in some configure file of whether or not it supports it and well, it supports it well enough. And we could all just kind of say, oh, sub P underscore or something new.
It's
around
it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, at some point, we could probably require it in geo, but I think it might be good if you're still.
Okay.
So you don't have an archetype of the judge, you're not locked in the building itself, just you have to go out through the security. You still can't get
it. If the hacker could be locked, maybe go back.
Okay.
Hey, before we go, I just want to make a question here to everybody. Catch me if you think you can help. We need a good way of translating data that's in XML files, so I need advice on the best way to do, well, for GOC, for the GNOME Long String Keyword. GOC has its own special internationalization issues because sometimes it's not just that you want to translate the strings, you actually need to translate the whole XML document. So we right now it's just not happening.